You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I've got an amazing guest today, and you're not going to want to miss this. This guy knows a ton about creating a great practice, and he's going to debunk one of the biggest myths in how you create a great practice, Dr. Craig Spodak. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button, and we'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Barrett is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. And today is going to be super, super fun. I've got my good friend, Craig Spodak on. And Craig, thank you so much. I really appreciate this, brother.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Kirk. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm so grateful because I want to get inside of your brain. Like, I've watched you for so long create an amazing practice. You're hanging out with all these amazing people. Like, you were at Richard Branson's house a couple of weeks ago, and then you and Tony Robbins are all buddies. It's like, I'm hanging around with the wrong people. I got to start hanging around with you. And I sent you a message right away. And you're like, dude, yeah, absolutely. Let's get on. And you're actually in Tony Robbins' book, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. First of all, if you're watching this and you're a dentist and you want to see an amazing website, just check out Craig's website. It is phenomenal. Like, I can't stop watching it. Even the homepage, you're like, this is amazing. It looks like an amazing place just to be. And then as you and I have been talking, just getting to know each other and all that kind of stuff, you have 52 team members, 52. You've got 9 doctors and 13,000 square feet. Tell us who you are, where you practice, and just a little bit about you.
Well, Kirk, with an intro like that, I really just should stay silent. Thank you. That's very kind of you. So I'm a third generation dentist. I went to Tufts Dental School. I graduated in 1998. I joined my father back here in Delray Beach right after school and, you know, worked for my father for about 6-7 years. And was like, my dad likes to call me like a bucking racehorse inside of the stable. I had all these ideas and I wanted to do it, but my mom was working the front desk and we had, you know, one appointment book. So only one person could call at a time. So if there's two people calling on the phone, we couldn't actually make two simultaneous appointments. And I was just really excited about, you know, changing dentistry. I saw my dad and my grandfather practice and I had a ton of ideas. I saw dentistry shifting into more multi-specialty, more single location, or at least a center where all treatment could be provided because people are very busy. And I had these dreams. And finally, my dad in 2006 says, you know, take over the practice. And the rest is history. I started adding specialists. I built a lab. I learned a lot. I got my butt kicked a lot. Still getting my butt kicked. But it's been a good ride and I love dentistry. I practice every single day. I do, you know, 4.5-5 days a week. People, local people think that I'm just some sort of CEO that, you know, sits behind a desk, but I'm a wet finger dentist. I don't think I'll ever give that up. And I'm proud to do it. I produce quite a bit of money. And I thought for a minute, I said, should I be a CEO or should I be a dentist? And I produce over $1 million. I'm not worth $1 million as a CEO. So I'm a dentist and I'm enjoying it and loving every day. So I took a break from the patients and happy to be here with you.
Yeah, well, I'm so grateful you're going to be on, because doing what you've done, you've learned a lot of great lessons. And as we were talking about some of the things that makes your practice work the way it does, is there's a huge myth in dentistry. And a lot of times you've all heard it. We've all heard this myth. And you say, oh, that's a really good thought, but it's not true. And what's the myth that you've discovered is just not true in dentistry?
Well, the myth is a business myth. It's put the customer first, that the customer is always right. But to branch it onto dentistry is putting the patient first. And I believe that is a myth more now than ever before, because we're dealing with a different type of individual. We're dealing with millennials. We're dealing with people, our employees, our team members are of a different generation. It's not about a work ethic. They have to believe in something. And the whole idea about management and business principles comes back from the factory, when people were just widgets in a machine, or, you know, cogs in a machine, and they were designed to do a task and they were timed on that task and they had to turn their brain off and just work. And it's not about creating a good work ethic or people that'll just show up and do their job. It's people that are engaged. And I know that's a buzzword about the engagement and the why, like Simon Sinek why, but people have to believe in what they do. So what I believe in is we have a noble cause in this organization. Our noble cause is to create a better world through the power of compassion. It's not just fixing teeth. If our patients feel compassion, if they feel the love from us, literally they feel love, then they'll love us back. So in business nowadays, it's whoever adds the most value to the patient. And you can't accurately do that unless you put your team's needs above all else. So the team has to feel loved, supported, and trusted. It's them first. If a patient comes in and is causing an issue like we talked about before, they're fired. You cannot treat any of my team members poorly, because I love them all. I respect them all. They're here for a reason. And if someone loses their cool on my patients, that they're out. We have a zero tolerance policy for that. And as dentists, we get a lot of that stuff. It's really fortunate what our team has to deal with. So I'm happy that's now a myth. It's always team first.
Yeah. If somebody loses their mind on one of your team members, you'll kick them out. And you're not afraid to do that at all. You're not afraid at all to dismiss a patient if that happens, right?
No, sir. If anybody violates those core values, it's pretty much, I mean, my team will tell me we need to fire that patient. I know that's your friend, but you know, they canceled on us 3 times in a row. I called them, I was very polite. He lost his cool. He cursed at me. You know, it's not appropriate. Like, dentistry is tough enough. We don't need to have tough people too on top. Yeah. We pick and choose our patients. Funny thing is, Kirk, when a patient comes in as a new consult, they'll tell me, like, you know, I'm interviewing you. I'm like, well, with all due respect, I'm interviewing you too, because I want to see if you're a fit for what we do. Because dentistry is a service industry, just like restaurants. Sometimes Chipotle is where you want to be, and sometimes it's Morton's. And there's all these different models, and every practice is a snowflake, its own signature model. So a patient has to realize what they're dealing with.
That is awesome. Now, for those of you that are watching this, because this is a huge concept, we are shooting this live on Facebook. So if you have questions, please add them to the feed. And I'm going to ask Craig directly as they come up. So don't be afraid to ask those questions, because you might be watching this saying, Craig, great idea, really hard to do in some cases. And I heard you use the word core values, because that is a, you know, sometimes people use it as a buzzword, but that is no joke. Like, that's the foundation of what you're doing, correct?
Absolutely. You have to live in community with each other. A community is that, like, if you can imagine, like, your family is a community. You have the crazy uncle, you have, you know, your sisters and your brothers, but you all have to come together to serve a common purpose. And in our practice, we require that everybody agrees to live in community. So when we have a meeting or a team meeting, we'll have an agreement. Can we all agree that we're going to live in community? We act as adults. We turn our brain on. We respect each other. And they're not just buzzwords like the little sign you have in the background, teamwork or courage with the guys rowing. It actually has to be lived and breathed. It has to be talked about all the time. We have also another agreement, that we're open to be coached. Coach and be coached. So if I'm not acting in a way that's living in community, my team has full authority. I encourage them to come me, say, time out, get over here. What you're doing is causing a problem for the hygienist or this or that. So you all have to be willing and able to live in community together.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a huge point too, because your favorite team members that you've ever worked with, they like the coaching. They want the coaching, but you make that an expectation when you hire them.
Absolutely. Right off the bat. I tell new employees the same thing. I sit down with a new employee. I tell them, so if you see me acting in a way, if someone's upset with me, If you're hearing someone's upset with me and you're not going to be willing to bring them over and make that right wrong or wrong, make that wrong right, sorry, then you're part of gossiping. And we don't want to gossip. So I encourage everybody to come to me. Anything you see or hear me do that doesn't fit with our culture, call me out on it. I want to grow. And the real opportunity is what you don't know about yourself. So that's where the growth happens. And I'm always open to that.
Now, I'm sure you have difficulty when you manage that many people. Like if I'm a young dentist watching this, let's say I'm 32 and I'm trying to grow a team and I only have three team members. And I'm like, Craig, I totally want what you have. Like, where would you start? Cause you shared with me, you're 45, right? You're 45. Yes, and you look so much younger than that. But let's say
I know.
Don't even go there.
You see the webcam. It's all nice and sunny. I'm sorry for all the,
I know.
Burdens now.
That's not even fair. But where would I start? Like how, because I'm sure this isn't a perfect world when you're building a team and when you're debunking the biggest myth, which is I'm trying to put all these patients first, but I'm going a little crazy here. Where do I start in creating great practices with my team?
Well, there's a logical sequence to how a business or a practice will develop. In the beginning, you have tons of time and no patients. So the first one that calls, you're so excited to pick up the phone, you realize it's your mom and it's not really a patient. But eventually, you know, you are putting your patients first in the beginning. You have a small team, you know, typically one or two other people, maybe an assistant that answers the phone. That's what I had. And slowly but surely, the patients start to outnumber the team. And that's when the distinction comes into play. So in the beginning, you can kind of dual track really easily. You can have your organizational culture because it's small and you can have your patient needs are put into place. But at a certain point, there's just so many patients, your practice will grow, especially if it's successful, that you need to kind of explicitly define your culture. In the beginning, it's kind of tribal. One or two people, you don't need to explicitly define the culture. Five and six and seven, it becomes like this, you know, game of telephone, like, oh, the doctor really likes this or the doctor really likes that, but it's really not true. So at a certain point in your growth, or even maybe earlier than you need to, you should explicitly define why you exist beyond making money. Kind of like the Simon Sinek why thing. And it's not just you're fixing teeth, because everybody does that. Or it's not just because you accept Delta Dental. You have to figure out what your signature is, why you're different. And I just did a lot of reading. All of my resources were from business books. I read Good to Great. I read Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, a very influential book for me, talking about how when people are happy, they're more productive. Of course, a big influence for me was the guy you had on yesterday, Fred Joyle. I read his first book and it just blew me away. And I was really honored. He put me in his latest book, Everything is Becoming Remarkable. Fantastic books. I always tell Fred, he's just got to literally do a word swap on that book and take practice to business and patient to customer and release it into general business. It'll be an amazing book for business too.
That's true.
But great resources out there. Those books alone just shift your whole perception of how to do things. There is a very big difference in the consciousness of the employee. Our employees are younger, they're millennials. They will work really hard for you as long as there's a why. You know, the millennials make great soldiers because they believe in, you know, the mission. And millennials are very loyal as long as you give them a resounding why. You can't tell people why because I pay you. It doesn't work. That's right. Not how it works anymore. People will not show up for money. They have to show up for mission.
Right. And what you're creating is a culture of engagement. Like people, and this is a huge frustration because people are quick to say, oh, the millennials don't work hard anymore and we throw them in a box. And that's not true at all.
It's not. I mean, I've had millennial employees that I'm pretty big into social media and they're checking in. Like if I have a potential hire and they're interviewing, I'll look them up on, you know, social media, see what's going on just to make sure I don't have some unwanted baggage or my people will look them up. But I've seen like a hygienist that was interviewing check in at our office for a working interview, like wish me luck. I'm at Spodak Dental and like 100 people show up on her feed. Good luck. Oh, I need a cleaning. Who am I going to hire? Am I going to hire the girl that doesn't do that or the girl that's checking in having 100 comments? Because imagine if her hygiene schedule falls apart for 2 o'clock and she gets on her own Facebook page and says, hey, come find me at my office today. She's got such engagement. So I'm not just getting her, but she believes in who we are. She's socially credible and she's got people that are following her. When you get an engaged employee that believes in what you do, it is magic. It is magic for your business. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely. Now, once you get the magic, you also have to protect the magic, because having, like you said, this used 5, 6, 7. That was so funny you said that, because that's kind of like the threshold. And now as you start to add more people to this community, you have to protect the garden very carefully, because a weed can turn into a couple weeds, then it can ultimately kill the garden. And I'm sure you've had an experience where somebody comes in and use the word baggage, and you're like, oh my goodness, like this team member is either an energy sucker, they're bringing baggage. How do you deal with that? Because you know, if you don't stop it, it's going to destroy what you've worked so hard for.
Great point. And we're going through a big transition now. So when we were 5 or 10 or 15 people, I could literally go around and see everything and touch everything. I could manage it all. And now with 52 people and 9 different doctors and specialists and, you know, an oral surgery department, I don't know anything about oral surgery. We've got all these different parts of the practice that are moving and operating. So it's really not management anymore. So management is an outdated concept where people need to be managed. I believe that you need the construct of what to do, you know, core values, taking the very best care of the patient, you know, deliver wow through service, be charitable, be humble, pursue growth and learning. Core values give you the context to what you do, but they don't actually tell you exactly what to do. With what we do now is we're focused on turning our people's brains on. These are smart, independent, engaged people. Get out of their way, spend time with them, train them. Don't just like throw them in your office and let them run. But as far as like hiring now, I used to hire people for my office. So I'd meet a nice, you know, young employee or potential employee. I'd talk to them. I'd bond with them. She's funny. She's nice. Here, go live with your admin friends now for the next 10 years and all get along and play well in the sandbox. Hope you guys enjoy it. Have fun. Arrange marriage. We don't do that anymore. Now the admin team hires for themselves, because what I was doing is just, you know, giving them an arranged marriage. They had no input and I'm telling them they have to get along. So now the admin team will hire their own people. They'll do a trial hire, they'll hire and fire. So we're creating self-managed small teams. They all handle their own things. It's results and performance based, not opinion based.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. And you use the words own it. So when they hire someone, they go, I want this person to sit next to me. They right. kind of own that decision, don't they?
Absolutely. You liked her before. What happened? Tell me. That's interesting. Versus having to go all the way up to me or going up to some, you know, superior manager that can work out their conflicts. If you notice, like employees versus engaged team members, employees tend to act like childish children. You know, Sally showed up late. She's really not doing a good job. And Mary's not really pulling her own weight. Adults don't do that. Adults are like, hey, Mary, we came here this morning. We needed you. We depend on you. You didn't show up. You know, you didn't call any of us. And peer-to-peer, people will tend to raise their own performance. Peer-to-superior, they can get away with more. But peer-to-peer, they keep it real with each other. They call each other out. They act more like adults. And that's what we're asking people to do. You can't be a child here. You can't show up and be cranky because you had a bad day. You're letting your team down. Mm-hmm. And it's a team focus. And if you're letting your team down, the peer-to-peer pressure will either fire you or promote you.
Right. Now, you do all of this through a lot of communication. Like, you guys do a lot of stuff together. You do charity work, you do outreach, you do inter-office training, you do a lot. So, you know, you hear this common complaint from a lot of dentists, say, well, I don't have time to take my team to a course, or I don't have time to do that. Where did you start to create this type of a culture? I'm sure you've got great systems in place that create that opportunity for us to get authentic, really connect and go deeper as human beings that work together.
So what we did with that is we asked the team what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Said, hey team, would you guys like to have a happy hour? Would you guys like to do something? What do you guys want to do this year? What are the things that you want to do? And we created like a champion for that cause. She's the one who does all of our outside events. And she asked the team what they want to do. It's not my idea. It's what they want to do. I give them a budget. I tell them what would be the most fun for you. And they do it. So it's really up to them to do that. But, you know, being charitable is one of our core values. I'm very proud. We started our own 501c3 All-Star Smiles, allstarsmiles.org. If you want to get involved, shameless plug. We did that with an athlete, Giancarlo Stanton. He has the reputation or the honor of having the highest signed contract in the history of sports. And part of that contract stipulated that he had to donate 1%, which is a lot of money. And I met him because he took a pitch to the face back in 2014 and I fixed his teeth. And he's like, I like you. Let's do a charity. And the rest is history. Now we, in October, we treated over 100 children, $100,000 worth of dentistry in one single day. Wow. And a couple of weeks ago, we did another 20-30, and it's wonderful. It's a blessing, actually. But it happened organically. But we established that one of our values was to be charitable and give back. And I believe it's incumbent upon a successful business, especially a local community service-based business like a dentist. We're right. pillars of our community. We're well-respected, and we take care of our community anyway. You have to give back to that community. I just think it's part of being a successful business these days.
Right. And it's got to be authentic. It can't be hollow, you know, that you're looking for more patients, or it's just a ploy for marketing type of a thing. Now, you use the word champion. I love that word. Describe what that means. When you assign somebody to a task, whether it be, you know, charitable, whatever it is, you call it a champion. What does that mean? Because some people might not know what that means.
Okay. So I'm very big into accountability. Everything that happens in this organization is ultimately my fault. I believe that I am at cause for everything. So that philosophy and thought is kind of always brought up. We're always accountable. You own it. You're a champion. You own it. And that doesn't mean that if you have to leave at 4, you don't own it anymore. If you own it and you're a champion for it, even though you're leaving at 4 because you're taking your child to swimming lessons, you've delegated that responsibility to somebody else. So you own it all the way to completion. It doesn't mean you do it all. So on our to-do list or our by when list, which are all public, we have a public board that says by when. So we have the cause, you know, get a social event. Who's the champion and who's the support? So the champion is not going to be doing it, but they own it and it's going to get done, or else they have to make the call to the team why it didn't get done. So when you hear champion, it doesn't mean that you're the one doing all the work. You're the cheerleader. You're the one that makes sure it's done. You're accountable and you're resourceful and you're getting other people engaged in it. So we're big into that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want to go back to that. You said, what's the cause? So you have a board in your office. What's the cause? Who's the champion? And then the third piece is also critically important. There's got to be a timeline to that. Yeah. Now, I've noticed this too, Craig. You can have a great team get around a table and they'll go, hey, let's do this. And if it's the cliche thing, if nobody owns it, or if everybody owns it, nobody owns it, right? Where do you have this board? Where is it? It's in your office?
Yeah, it's public. It's in the huddle room. It's the by when board. Tony Robbins always says the decision without a date is just a wish. So it's without any timeliness to it, it'll never get done. Everything has to be with the date. And it's literally called the by when board. So okay. Its name is the context of by when. And it's kind of public because, I mean, it's obviously very public. But if you have a by when of February 26th, then we bring it up weekly. It gets a little embarrassing that you're the champion and it was February 26th and it's not done. You have to have something to say. And it's pure motivated. It's never me. I don't say anything. But I let the peers of the office, because peer-to-peer recognition, peer-to-peer approval is so much more powerful than me coming down and say, hey, good job, Sally. But when, you know, we start off every morning huddle, every day we do a huddle, but we have a kudos time where the team is just giving each other kudos. Like, hey, Sally, thanks for staying late. You really helped me out when you cleaned my room. I don't know who set up my room, but thank you for doing that. We also have an inter-office Facebook page, a secret Facebook page. It's Spodak Dental Group team page. And we're constantly posting to each other there. It's a great tool for inter-office communication. Because your employees, whether you know it or not, they're always on Facebook. You might as well have it be partly yours as well.
Buddy, that's brilliant. Now, I want to go back to this because there's a couple things. When you're debunking the biggest myth, which is patients first, and you're really creating a team first environment, as you guys can see, you're watching this, he's got an entire culture of, hey, look, we're working together, we're doing peer-to-peer. That board is in front of you every day. Like you walk by it, you see your name, your cause, and I have to up my game to be part of this team. Walk me through the mind of a leader.
So I am not the most punctual person.
Okay.
And a couple huddles ago, huddle starts at 8:30. That means seated in your butt at 8:30. And I have come in at 8:31. And some of my team came to me and said, you know, your fact that you're showing up late is really disrespectful. And it was interesting because I could say, you know, well, in my mind, and some dentists are like, well, I pay all you guys. Like, I'm the leader. I got my name in the building. And I call total BS on that, because if you expect your people to live by your core values, you better live by those as well. So when it is 8:28, I am sweating bullets. I haven't sweat bullets like that since I worked at like the supermarket as a bag boy. Like, it doesn't matter if it's my name or I own the place. I have to live by those core values 1,000%. And that kind of segues, by the way, into like the Richard Branson thing, which I want to hit on. I don't know if we're running out of time.
Please. No, keep going. This is awesome.
But like, so for example, like we all say, oh, we're so busy. I'm a busy guy. I'm successful. But, you know, I was getting a lot of complaints from my employees about showing up a little late. I'm not talking about really late, a minute late. But people were coming to me and I'm like, yeah, they're right. They're right. I got to do something about it. But it didn't really hit home because in some way I was making it okay in my mind that it's okay for me to be a little late. I'm really busy. I got tons of patients. I have a big responsibility. And when I was at with Branson, with Fred, it was just so impressive to see this guy has no pretense. He has no ego. And you might say, well, of course he doesn't. He's already a multi-billionaire. He's arrived. But I know people that have known him for 20 years. He's always been that way. He's present. He's humble. And it was interesting, and I'm not proud to admit it, but being with him, I'm like, you know, on the scale of success, I'm a fruit fly to his, you know, being this massive giant of success. And I started catching myself like, I don't know if I do that. I don't know if I'm that present with my own people. And it was a really neat thing to see that and witness. It was very transformational in that he's so much busier than I am, incomprehensibly busier, but yet he doesn't make those excuses. He honors his all of his commitments. And it was a great example for epic leadership to actually walk your talk. And it upped my game. And I came back very different from that. I know Fred did as well. And it's just amazing how many excuses we make. And I hear people say that, well, I'm very busy. I'm so busy. You know, and it's a cop out. It's weakness because you got to be accountable for all of it. If you want to rise and be that next level of leader, you got to take it and own it.
And you hear that all the time. I don't know the word busy is good anymore. People say, oh, I'm so busy. And yeah. I don't know if that's good anymore. And you have consciously made the choice to be around people that have gone way ahead of you. Now, talk about that, because that's crazy important when you come back to your own business and you're trying to figure things out. You have to surround yourself with some tough friends, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They say proximity is power. You're going to be the product of the five people you spend the most amount of time with. So if you have a couple of friends that are just, you know, on the couch complaining all the time, you're going to tend to be a little bit more like them. So I like to surround myself with positive people that are just going and getting it. And, you know, this whole idea about busy or stressed, being stressed is the achiever word for being scared. We can't tell. There's no safe zone when you're a leader. We're scared. We don't know, you know, especially my dental colleagues out there. We didn't go to leadership school. We don't know what's going on. Heads down literally an hour ago, working on patients. I got patients after you. I got all these things coming at me. And it's really easy to, you know, lose your focus, your mental focus, and lose your cool even. But if I lose it, if I get a little snippy with people, immediately I run right to them. Hey, Michelle, I'm so sorry. I was moving a million miles an hour. I'm really sorry. That's just not going to happen again. Oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. But you know what? It matters to me. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that with you because I value you and I respect you. And
that's awesome.
I depend on you. And I don't want to create that community in my practice. But it's hard, you know, it's hard. And the busy is an achiever thing now. It's like, oh, I'm so busy. Like, we compete with each other. Oh, I'm so busy. You know, like it's some sort of badge of honor to be right, stressed right. And busy.
Right. And I want to go back to that with your team members too. This is huge. You have created an expectation or a culture. People, your team members can get in your face quite a bit. Now, how do you do that? So when you hire somebody or when you're working, let's say, look, we're all working together here. It's peer to peer. And if you see that I'm not living up to the core values, how do you instruct a team member to come to you and you receive the feedback the way that you've coached them to get feedback? How do you do that?
Okay, so we have a specific methodology. It's basically a reality check. It's kind of pirated from some Tony Robbins stuff from a long time ago. It's basically getting more meaning from people. So you have an upset with somebody. We have a rule that you don't gossip. So if someone comes to me and says, hey, you know, Sally's being really difficult, blah, 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 blah. I'm saying, well, listen, you're telling me I'm not involved. So right now it's gossip and I can't be involved in gossip. So can I bring Sally over here right now?
Wow. Because if I'm listening to it, I'm just hearing you and I'm not part of it and I'm not part of this. It's gossip. I'm powerless and I'm actually reinforcing you creating a story that might not be true. So can I bring Sally over here? Can you get curious, get all the information, get a resolution to the conflict? So it's a several step process getting curious, requesting all the information, and finding out how to make it right. Because all communication is either one of just two things. It's either a loving response or a cry for help. When you freak out on somebody, you're crying out for help. You're feeling desperate, you know, or if you praise somebody, you're just feeling loving. And a lot of this stuff is, you know, I'm a big Tony Robbins disciple, as you know, I got the book here. So a lot of this stuff is from Tony. I've done a lot of his work and it's fantastic. It's really transformed my life. And Tony will always say that the quality of your life is directly related to the quality of your communication. So if you think about those epically successful people in your life, they communicate so well. Communication is quality of life. And it's been great for me, some of that stuff.
Well, the evidence is extremely apparent, you know, with you and how you've developed yourself and you work with the people around you. So you mentioned Tony's book. You're actually in that book. How did that work and how do we get a copy of that? Because I've read a lot of Tony's. I love it. Absolutely love it. But this is his new book. And what's that all about?
The book is Unshakable, Your Financial Freedom Playbook. It's a sequel to his original book, Money Master the Game. And when I found out it was in the book, I didn't know if it was like, hey, I know this guy named Craig and blah, 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 blah. And when I actually got the excerpt and he says, you know, I was chatting with my dentist and my personal friend, Dr. Craig Spodak, I was like, I couldn't believe it. So it's a huge honor that he would consider me his personal friend like this and include me in the book. But he recognizes that there's a major issue going on in the financial world. And Tony's mission is to help as many people as possible. So what Tony's doing is he got involved in the financial industry because he saw really bad things going down. Like Tony's own retirement plan for his team had exorbitantly high fees that were crushing his returns. So we talk about team culture here and putting your team first. I have a 401k with a 6% match, a very generous 401k. And I come to find out it's riddled with fees and their retirement plan for both me and them is being eroded. And the funny thing of how it came out to me was the first book, Money Master the Game, it says that plan sponsors, meaning dentists or business owners like me, have a fiduciary responsibility to check the fee or else they could be liable. Mm-hmm. So my team members, a lot of them read the book because they all know Tony. They said, hey, you know, Dr. C, have you checked our plan, our 401k plan? I'm like, no, why? It's great. You know, I love the guy. He brings me donuts. He's great. Well, you know, we want to check the fees. I'm like, we don't need to do that. I'm like, well, actually, you're required to check the fees. So I was kind of scared and a little, I'm like, okay, let's check it. It can't be that bad. And actually what we found out, I went to this website and checked my fees. It's actually included on the bio, I think. I'm not sure. But there's a website there to disclose your fees. And we found out we were paying like 2.6%. I know that doesn't sound like a lot of money. Who cares? 2.6% for a 401k fee. But when we switched over to America's Best 401k, which Tony talks about in his book, and actually many dentists have on your show, we saved all the way down to 0.6%. So that 2% difference saved us $1.5 million in retirement savings. The little difference. And the funny thing is I thought I was being really good because I told my 401k company, oh, just buy me Vanguard. Buy me the Vanguard ETF S&P 500 fund because I know that's a low-cost fund. What I realized in my 401k was in order for me to buy that, they charged me a management fee on top of that. You might buy that fund in your account for, let's say, 0.15%. And my 401k plan, it cost me 1.65%. So basically, I was buying a Toyota Corolla for $300,000. Same model for a Toyota Corolla, but paying exorbitantly for it. So Tony's on the mission to help people. 75,000 dentists have 401ks. We are an industry that wants to take care of our team. You know, kudos to our profession that we value our team to give them a benefit, like retirement savings. But we're a small industry, so our 401ks are typically fairly small. So Apple Computer has a very good 401k. They're not getting ripped off. They've got a big team, a legal team, fiduciaries, people looking out for them. But as dentists, we get our 401ks from like our payroll company or from the guy down the street. And we have no idea because the fee disclosure is 50 pages long. I can't read the first page of a fee disclosure. So what I'm encouraging and what Tony's offered is for 100 people, you can get a free copy of the book. All you have to do is go to the website or the link that's listed on the Best Practices show and find out what you're paying. There's no obligation. Find out. It's a fiduciary responsibility, meaning the Department of Labor mandates that you check your fees. So you're fulfilling your duty. And as a side benefit, not so small, Tony is donating 50 meals to Feeding America for each copy of the book sold. So for everybody that requests a book, not only are you going to find out that you could better your 401k and learn about your financial future, but also feed 50 people. And that's wonderful that Tony's doing that. So I'm very proud of that.
That's awesome. Well, and as a business owner, I feel hugely responsible to know exactly what that percentage is. So I'm going to check that out. And we've put that in the feed on the side, so you can actually just click the link and you can get a free copy of Tony Robbins' newest book, only for the first 100 people that do it and get an opportunity to do that. So thank you for setting that up. Greg, this is fantastic. So I hope, you know, if you're watching this and you have questions, you say, hey, Craig, you know, that is awesome what you do, and I'm kind of struggling with this. You said this, you actually do consulting with dentists, but you're not quick to say that because you're such a giving person. And I know you're a very giving person because you'll give anybody the amount of time, and you don't always have the ability to do that. But if I wanted to ask you a quick question, how can I get a hold of you?
Feel free to just follow me, Craig Spodak, on Facebook or Craig Spodak on Instagram. I'm a member of all the different dental chat rooms, posting my own questions. You know, I believe in paying it forward. I'm learning like the rest of you guys. I have not figured it all out by a long shot. As I was talking before the show, I feel the more I've learned, the less I actually know. And I'm a perpetual student. I want to get better. I don't want to live the same year over and over. I want to get better through life and I want to grow. So if I can help you, I'm sure you can help me as well. I've got a lot of friends out there that are watching and I just want to move the profession forward. I love this profession.
Yeah. I want to get invited to the courses you're attending. So I want to hang out with those guys too. So if you're watching this, you have questions, feel free to add them in the feed on the side. I'm going to ask Craig to respond and he'll give you a really thoughtful response. This guy is fantastic at reaching out and helping everybody. So Craig, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kirk. Really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. If you're watching this, I am grateful you're watching. Please let us know if there's other topics you want to see. We are having so much fun doing this. And keep watching the Best Practices Show. Until we see you next time, have an awesome day.